Zoom in on global affairs with insightful debates and exclusive interviews. This is World Insight.
Hello, I'm Tian Wei, and welcome to World Insight. In 2020, China's National People's Congress adopted a law safeguarding national security in the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region. Public consultation on that measure, which is Article 23 of the Hong Kong SAR Basic Law, wrap up at the end of February this year. What does Article 23 mean for the stability and growth of Hong Kong? And will Hong Kong also become a bridge for culture and arts between the mainland and the rest of the world? I ask all these questions to Henry Ying Nian Tang, who is the chairman of the Board of West Kowloon Cultural District Authority. Henry, we understand the Article 23. This, of course, is a very important legislation for Hong Kong's future. What is your personal take?
This piece of legislation should be effective so that we will not leave any loopholes for the subversive elements to try and slip through. So it should be effective. Mm-hmm. And the fourth and the most important point is that it should be forward-looking. Crime can be committed in more ways than one now. So therefore, we need to be forward-looking so that it will be, in the foreseeable future, still be a good barrier for any attempt to breach national security in Hong Kong. Therefore, national security is necessary for a stable community, for a safe community. With a safe community, we can now all join together as a team to fight for the common prosperity and the livelihoods of Hong Kong.
Both here on the mainland and in Hong Kong, there is a discussion about how to tip that very delicate balance between national security and development and growth. Now, of course, a lot of emphasis is being put on growth, especially when the economy is being challenged. What is your take?
I think national security is first and foremost the most important issue, because without security, there is no stability. Without stability, there is no development. I think there's no doubt in my mind that security is most important. With security, there will be stability. And now that we have stability in Hong Kong, our focus will be on economic development, the prosperity of Hong Kong, and the resources to make the lives of people better. So I very much look forward to a fast enactment of Article 23 of the Basic Law. And fulfill both our constitutional responsibility as well as to complete the national security issues in Hong Kong.
So one of the most impressive cultural and arts projects in Hong Kong, West Kowloon Cultural District, I know you are working around the clock trying to figure out how to make this sustainable financially. Have you figured out a way?
Any cultural projects as such has to be financially sustainable. In most places around the world, it is always supported by government or a very rich organization, company in the back. So first of all, it is necessary. And secondly, our original plan is that government will give us one lump sum, an endowment, and that we will be able to build all the facilities. And that was in 2008. And all the assumptions were based on well before the Asia financial crisis, so therefore they are very unrealistic. Of course, government then did a midterm revision, but that was before any of the cultural facilities were opened. So now we have opened four actually, and also we have operated them for several years. We welcome millions and millions of visitors. They are very, very much welcome and embraced by Hong Kong as well as the world. But at the same time, we realize those assumptions were wrong also. So now we have a much more realistic forecast, and we have presented it to the board of directors at West K and also to government, because three government officials sit on our board. So they are completely au fait of what's happening.
There are media reports, Harry, about the ways that you have figured out or you proposed, some suggest, would there be bonds issued for the funding of the West Kowloon Cultural District, or should there be tapping into the use of land in the area to make it a small area commercial and use that money to support the cultural cause?
First of all, categorically, we cannot issue a bond, because a bond, we have to demonstrate to the investors that we are able to repay the bond. We are not able to repay the bond without government approval of our revised plan.
Right.
By the same token, we can go to the banks and borrow a loan and take out a loan to cover the short-term cash flow challenge. But again, we have to demonstrate to the banks that we are able to repay the loan. All the assumptions are premised upon government's approval of our revised plan on better use of our assets. Mm-hmm. The only asset West Kowloon has is, of course, our team. The team is, I think, one of the best teams in the world. Mm-hmm. Other most important asset is our land. So I have thought about how to make better use of the land so that it meets the current demand of the market in Hong Kong in order to make the West K Cultural District sustainable for the next decades.
Mm-hmm. When you are trying to put these different institutions into operation, when you are trying to bring the best exhibitions from around the world to the museums, when you even try to bring some of the biggest names of the world, but maybe they are being culturally viewed differently, how did you manage to let them all shine?
When we curate the exhibitions, especially in the two museums, the contemporary and classical, we are very careful and judicious to curate collections that will appeal to more people, and that it's not something that they are able to see easily elsewhere. Mm-hmm. For example, at M+, it's our contemporary museum that's been open for nearly 3 years, yeah. 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. We welcome more than 5 million visitors.
Oh my God.
And we also put on one major international exhibition by Yayoi Kusama, mm-hmm. The very famous Japanese artist.
Yes.
And this exhibition, curated by Hong Kong, and we have sent it over to Guggenheim Museum in Bilbao for exhibition for several months, and it was very much welcomed by the European visitors. And now the next stop is we are then going to Portugal for next exhibition in Porto.
I see. So
it's the first international exhibitions that we curated that we can actually go overseas. This is very much consistent with the Central People's Government mission for us, mm-hmm. to be the East-West Cultural Exchange, as the 14th Five-Year Plan has asked us to do.
How did you try to figure out ways and solutions to something that you didn't have the answer and Hong Kong earlier did not encounter?
I recently went to see an Iranian exhibition at the Palace Museum here in Beijing.
Yeah.
It was very impressive because their cultural history is as long as or even longer than China.
Yeah.
So these very rich cultural
civilizations
really need to be shown to the world, and it will help the world understand China.
There has been challenges, of course, in economies around the world, here on the mainland as well. While we are facing this transition, how do you see Hong Kong is making finding its way right now?
We are part of China, mm-hmm. so our relationship is intermingled in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. When China is doing well, we will do very, very well. When China is facing its own challenges, we will face these challenges as well. But we do have one unique strength, mm-hmm. which is we have the one country, two system, meaning we are able to do a number of things that the mainland of China is not able to do. For example, we have a capital system rather than a socialist system. We have a freely convertible and transferable currency. And thirdly, we have common law, which is much more predictable to the commercial world. So therefore, we do have our strength, and our challenges is to be able to further leverage on those strengths for the benefit of Hong Kong.
Business community understand it will not happen as the terminologies indicated, but rather there's going to be changes in supply chains and value chains and the ways of doing business. So you are also a celebrated business person yourself in your career. How do you now, with the public service you are doing, looking at all these changes?
My main principle and main rule at West Kowloon is that all our exhibitions, shows as such, will have to be fair, objective, and unbiased. So it is not something that it's done so easily, because first, of course, the most important one is that we have to be lawful. Nobody has a right or has a privilege of breaching the laws of Hong Kong. Secondly, when we curate anything, it has to be curated objectively and fairly and balanced. So this is a rule. It's a fairly simple rule, but it's a rule that is very, very important that cannot be breached.
What about people's confidence for Hong Kong?
Hong Kong, in the past, have faced many challenges many times over. Over the decades, we have thrived under these challenges. Every time the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And that is the Hong Kong spirit.
I like that. Very nice. So having said that, though, during this year's National People's Congress and also CPPCC, you see people talk a lot on the new quality productive forces. Tell me more about your understanding and how do you see it also might have an impact on Hong Kong's development?
Well, the hottest topic nowadays is, of course, on artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is based on microelectronics.
Yes.
I'm in this industry. So I am very much au fait with what is happening in the industry, and the demand is very, very large. It takes a lot of work and research and also design in order to make these AI chips. Our nation is working very hard to further enhance and to upgrade our technology and our know-how on how to do this. We have made great developments, but we still have a long way to go.
Right.
So, like presidents always say, there is no best, there's only better, and we are striving to do that.
Henry, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Tian Wei.
Still to come, the realities of Hong Kong in economic and financial development. Real insight from a leading business person from Hong Kong SAR. Next.
And thirdly, I think historically, Hong Kong has established as the world financial center. That is not something easily replaced.
The world's top manufacturer of chip-making machines has threatened a departure from its home country in light of possible anti-immigration policies by a new Dutch government. Under what circumstances may ASML move? Where could ASML go if it chooses to relocate or expand abroad? What are the chances of China hosting an ASML plant? Get it all on this week's Chat Lounge, wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and on CGTN Radio.
Zoom in on global affairs with insightful debates and exclusive interviews. This is World Insight.
Welcome back. This is World Insight. I'm Tian Wei. The 2024 Government Work Report of China doubles down on the central government's support for the Greater Bay Area. This, of course, includes Hong Kong. How will Hong Kong make a better use of technology and financial services for future economic growth? Does Hong Kong continue to play its superconnector role between the mainland and the world? Let's hear from David Chu, a leading business person from Hong Kong. Hong Kong has been regarded as a super connector between the mainland and the rest of the world. And that role has been served very well by Hong Kong. And now we see a world in change, fragmentations. China is also evolving. So do you think Hong Kong is still kind of holding up to that role?
I think so. We are the gateway for China. And we only had, although close to 8 million population, but we have a unique system. Because one country, two system, you know, President Xi have emphasized there's no necessary to change. And thirdly, I think historically, Hong Kong has established as the world financial center. That is not something easily replaced.
Not something easily replaced. We do see, though, competitions, and that's not a new topic either, Singapore and some of the others. So where really is Hong Kong's advantage these days?
You know, recently there's a famous personality, Mr. Stephen Roche, to say that Hong Kong is gradually fading away. You know, Hong Kong is over as a financial center. During 1997, Hang Seng Index was at 15,000. And he now say today that Hong Kong Hang Seng Index, after 25 years, is still 15,000. I don't think there's a fair comparison because you're using the low point to low point. In between now and the last 25 years, Hong Kong Index have went up to 25,000. So I think the competitiveness of Hong Kong is still there. Mm-hmm. Hong Kong is still one of the largest IPO in the world. And we raise also, I think, third largest bond market. You know. So our track record show that we still have a lot of financial muscle, you know, and we are still very competitive. Mm-hmm. And the index come down recently, he cited, I think it's not because of anything else, because the property market in Hong Kong, unfortunately, have come down 30%. So I think that have affected our stock market. Mm-hmm. And also interest rate worldwide is quite high. So it affects the stock market.
When we see the changes over the past few years, China's interaction with the rest of the world has been evolving. Of course, there were problems posed by others, for example, about decoupling, China is a different country compared to theirs. So David, let's look at some of the details of Hong Kong's economy. One interesting combination is Hong Kong dollars are pegged to the US dollars as an international financial center. That's a must. On the other hand, Hong Kong's economy these days is so much intertwined with that of the mainland. So how do you see this interesting combination?
Last 20 years, when China was having high growth, we actually enjoying borrowing money when we were linked with US dollar much cheaper. So we can't have it both ways, you know. But today it is not to our advantage, but it all swing left and right, you know.
The other thing is about the real estate market in Hong Kong. The question is, where is Hong Kong's real estate going, especially with the backdrop that China, the mainland, is trying to adjust its real estate policies?
Hong Kong property market has been enjoying a very high growth for the last 20 years. And developer have enjoyed a remarkable profitable years. But the people of Hong Kong, in all fairness, have to pay very expensive for any type of housing. Hong Kong is maybe the most expensive housing market in the world. It is now coming down and is adjusting in the right direction. President Xi have always say, housing is for you to live, not for you to speculate. So the property market is coming down. It is hurting in the short run our consumer market, but in the long run, I think for the people of Hong Kong, it's going to have a better life.
The next question, David, has to do with the mainland's policies toward Hong Kong, the central government's policy toward Hong Kong. We see a number of preferential policies already being outlined. Greater Bay Area is one of them. Some suggest, though, the speed of developing it is not as fast as earlier expected. How do you see these kind of policies being tapped into efficiently and pragmatically to serve a critical juncture that we are facing right now?
Well, may I use this opportunity to ask for further support from our Beijing? I think all people said that Hong Kong was a shopping paradise, right? You know, all the ladies, men always come to Hong Kong to buy, to shop. I hope, you know, to help Hong Kong, you know, Beijing would consider giving us further support. But they already are looking at it. You know, recently they have relaxed both Xi'an and Qingdao. You know, I believe that give a sort of free traveling to Hong Kong. So we obviously like Beijing to give us more support.
How do you navigate both the business environment and also your role as a member of the most important political consultative body of China?
We can play a role. You know, for example, I'm personally very well connected with politicians from Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, England. You know, I'm obviously my first role at royalty. I must understand I'm honored to be a member of CCPC. As my father always told me, no matter what, who I am, at the end, I am Chinese. Okay, so my royalty must fall with my own country. But it's actually okay. You know, sometimes I do make my contribution, you know, to try to link further friendship in different circumstances between China and those countries.
You are actually a very important member of the Better Hong Kong Foundation.
Yep.
I know that specific organization was organized by you and some of your friends right after 1997, when people were talking about, well, probably there's no future for Hong Kong, you know, things like that. Mm. And you guys reacted and certainly acted. So tell me more about how you are looking at what you can do now.
In 1997, one of the most important financial magazines in the world said Hong Kong is over. So that's why then our Mr. C.H. Tong have asked many businessmen, including myself, I'm a trustee member, to form this Better Hong Kong Foundation to promote to the world that Hong Kong is not over. Well, history has shown after China take over Hong Kong, now almost close to 25, 30 years, Hong Kong actually have become bigger in terms of economies, every directions. You know, Hong Kong definitely was not over, and Hong Kong did not disappear. Of course, Hong Kong will have to face economic cycle like our own country, you know, like America, like any other countries. So we have our up and downs too, okay? So I think we are grateful, you know, to Beijing that a few years ago we have this, you know, this, we call it the Black Riots in Hong Kong, okay? Which, it was terrible if you live in Hong Kong, you know, people stopping the car in the middle of a street and everything. Well, we're very grateful to our, you know, to Beijing to calm down the situation, and forever we'll be grateful, you know, and I think once we pass this Section 23 now, that Hong Kong have always been a financial animal. Hong Kong have always been a financial center. When I was speaking with World Economic Forum, you know, these Americans, English press was attacking us in Hong Kong when I was a speaker, to say that you people political standard in Hong Kong is very low. You know, I told them, maybe it's true. Hong Kong is never a political center. Hong Kong is a financial center. Mm-hmm. But don't kill Hong Kong, because Hong Kong serves gateway for all of you going into China. And today, Hong Kong will serve, to answer your other question, the China company after 30 years have become giants. You know, some of the national company, private, become giants. So it now is the other way wrong. Chinese company will now use Hong Kong as a platform to invest in the rest of the world. So Hong Kong will always find its role. You know, Hong Kong, you know, as a super connector, this way, the other way, you know, and because we are one country, two system, and because we're common law, that Hong Kong will always find its way.
That's David Chiu, a leading business person from Hong Kong, talking about the realities of Hong Kong economy and its potential. That's all the time we have for today. I'm Tian Wei on behalf of my team. Thanks for being with us. Bye for now.